Amen. Can everyone hear me? Am I good? Let's go. Okay, as Ryan said, my name is Austin Macon. I am excited to share with you guys. I'm closing out our series. We've been entitled Free Speech, as you know. So we've been talking about one of the greatest rights we have as Americans is this freedom of speech. It's amazing. We get to use it to communicate. And so we need to, as Christians, understand how we can steward our speech well and how we can use it responsibly. And so that's what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. I'm going to close our series out this week, basically just talking about why our words matter. We've been focusing a lot on the what, but I'm going to focus really on the why. And so 2 weeks ago, Ryan talked about that our words are used to heal and not to wound. And then last week, Jacob talked about how our words are used to build others up, that we shouldn't let any unwholesome word come out of our mouth. And then I'm going to talk about, as I said, just the weight of our words. And so before we do that, I got a great video I want to share with you guys, so pay attention. She did it. There we go. Guys, I shortened that video. It is literally longer than that. They cannot say baked in a buttery, flaky crust, which is pretty hard. But that video, that video has over 7 million plays. That people are just laughing because this is Jack and Sonia Palmer. They live in Maine, a small town in Maine, at a local diner. They're just doing this commercial for a chicken pot pie. And they just have to say a few simple words, and they just cannot do it. And you watch Jack as he just struggles through these words. He's embarrassed. He's flustered. His face is red. He puts his face in his palm because he has no idea what the words are to the script. And so I was reading some interviews because he got just interviewed by so many people. And one of the interviews, the guy was like, hey, what happened on that video? And all he said was, hey, I kept forgetting my lines to the script. Which is obvious, but he kept saying that. I kept forgetting my lines to the script, which resonated with me because we laugh at that video. But the reason I share that video with you is because I think that's what we look like when we forget the lines to the script that God has given us. We don't use his script, his word, the Bible to speak. We end up embarrassing ourselves. We end up saying things we don't mean. We end up getting angry or complaining or being critical. When we don't use God's word to speak, we end up embarrassing ourselves. And not only that, if you look at the end of the video, look, his words actually influence his wife. And she gets mad. She's like, Jack. She screams at him. And then she messes up. And that is the power of words, that our words really do, they transfer. And they don't just affect us. They affect other people. And so Jack in that video, he went off script. He used his own words. And that's what happens. That's what I want you guys to understand is the Bible is our script. Proverbs 14:12, I'll throw it on the screen. It's one you've probably heard before, but it just says, there is a way that seems right to man. Meaning there is a script that seems right to us. You've probably been in that moment where your parents are maybe grounding you or you're in a conversation with your friends and you say things and you're like, ah, I really wish I wouldn't have said that. It's because there is a script that seems right to us. We think we know the right words of the script. In reality, we can get it wrong. And so I want to encourage you guys with this as we start. If you're taking notes, that our script as Christians has been written. Our script has been written. Our script has been written. And so actors really use scripts a lot of times in order to know what to say, in order to know what to do in the right moment. And that's what God's word is for us. That God's word, if you've never read God's word, I'm going to share with you guys what it is. It's not a textbook. It's not something you have to read in order to get a good grade. It's not a rule book that follow a list of rules and do's and don'ts that you have to do in order maybe to appease God. It's not just a good luck charm that you put on your shelf and you only read it when it's Sundays. It's not a vitamin that you take whenever you want to feel good about yourself. God's word is simply what I'm saying it is. That it's his very words to paper. That he put his words to paper. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 just says this, that we've talked about a lot in here and shared. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. So I want to focus on this phrase right here, God-breathed. I'm going to read the whole verse. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so that first phrase, God breathed, I know we say that a lot, but I really want to break that down because that can be kind of complex imagery. But God breathed basically is not, hey, God's breathing into your Bible like he's breathing into a balloon. He's not blowing up your Bible. God breathed basically means when you speak, you actually breathe out words. That's why people spit when they speak. I'm a spitter, but Like, so you guys, sorry, front row, but I'll spit sometimes. It's because from your lungs, you speak, you breathe out words. And so God is basically putting his words to paper. So you read a lot. You guys read books. You read road signs. You read your phone. You read a lot every day. But the only thing that we have that is inspired by God through man is God's word. It is incredible. It is our script. And I love the last part of that verse. It says, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. So that means every conversation that you are in, you have a teleprompter. Like you have the book, the God's word in order to share. So you never have to sit there and be like, what do I say in this moment? You never have to wonder what you should say. That you can go to God's word. You can say, hey, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That I need to speak gently. You know that Ephesians 4:29 says that I should not let any unwholesome word come out of my mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. So you know that if you're talking behind to someone's back, you know, hey, I should probably use words that are building them up. James 1:19, you know, quick to listen, slow to speak, that I should be quick to listen. I shouldn't speak immediately when I think I know what to say. And so I want you guys to understand that because that's going to set up where we're going. But once you understand that God's word is a script for us to read in order for us to share, you can truly know why your words matter. Why your words matter. You have to know the script. In order for you to get the script right, your words right, you have to read it for it to be profitable. And so here are the two ways that God's word, our words, why they matter. And so I'm going to focus on these two for the remainder of our time, and then we'll be out of here. Number one, if you're taking notes, this is why our words matter. It's directly from Scripture. That your words reveal. Your words reveal. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. That's the first book of the Bible in your New Testament, the first gospel. It's great to have that in front of you because it really helps you understand what we're going to be talking about. But here is the setting of what is happening in this text. Basically, Jesus is addressing these Pharisees. Pharisees, if you know, are just known for being self-righteous legalists. They care a ton about the outward appearance. But meanwhile, there's something inside that is just off. And so Jesus has strong language for these people. He really goes in on the Pharisees because the Pharisees have been talking bad about Jesus. They've been saying he is evil. And so he directs them. He confronts them and said, hey, you're responsible for your words. And so here's what he says. He says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. Basically, fruit is your words. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And here's where he leans in. He says, you brood of vipers, basically meaning you are a family of snakes. Vipers, as you know, are probably the most dangerous snake ever. Their venom is extremely poisonous and destructive. And that's what he's saying, that your words are destructive and can be poisonous. So he's leaning in. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks, here's what I want you to focus on, what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And so basically Jesus is saying right here that you are responsible for your words, that you need to pay attention to what you say. You can't just say things and then brush it off and minimize it and overlook it because your words are a tool to show you what is underneath. Your words are like an X-ray machine to show you what's going on in your heart. They reveal something in your heart that might be off. And so he's saying, use your words to show you what your heart is made of. And so he leans into him. He says, examine your words. Don't overlook them. But understand that your words are important. And so he's saying, pay attention. Pay attention to these things. And one thing that I don't think we pay attention to is what actually we eat, what goes into our body. And so to illustrate this, I read an article recently about what we don't know that we're eating. What we actually don't know that we are eating, that is going into our bodies. It's fascinating. Because I think truly, like to you guys, I don't believe the 5-second rule applies to y'all. If it falls on the ground, you're going to eat it regardless, probably, right? Am I right? Who eats things off the ground? Oh, a few of y'all? Not less than I thought, but that's gross, right? Especially right now. You're not trying to eat things off the ground. But I've seen you guys, if it's covered in sugar and it's convenient, what are you going to do? You're going to eat it. It's good, right? I don't blame you. And so here is some things that you don't know that you are eating, and I'm going to shock you. Like, some of y'all are going to be mad. You might never eat candy again, but you need to know this because I can't just sit on this information. Here we go. All right, first one, salad dressing, okay? This, guys, as you can see, those green leafy things, that's vegetables. You actually are supposed to eat those. But that is ranch dressing. If you didn't know about ranch dressing, I'm going to read this because this is fascinating. So titanium dioxide is in ranch dressing. It's an ingredient. And it's made from paint chemicals in order to make the dressing look whiter. And so you're basically eating paint chemicals. Isn't that disgusting? Let's be honest, though. Ranch dressing is better on pizza and chicken wings. Come on. Amen. All right, next one. Next one. Red dye. Red dye. So all those things, red dye. Starburst, yogurt's not even on there. I know, like, milkshakes. I know frappuccinos, strawberry frappuccinos. You can get those. M&Ms, jelly beans. Red dye is in those things. You guys ready for this? I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind. You're not going to want to hear this. Here we go. Here we go. That red color is called a red dye called carmine. And that is used, or that's made from crushed insects. Crushed insects. That is a bug. That is a beetle that they crush to make red dye. And they literally put that in your candy and your milkshakes. Like, that's going to make you think twice about what you are putting in your body. We gotta move on, but this is the next one. It only gets worse, guys. It only gets worse. Gummy bears. Gummy bears. Who loves gummy bears? Guys, gummy bears are great. The squishy bears, we all love them. They're really cute. All right, here's what I want you gotta listen. You gotta listen, because this is gonna shock you. But you need to hear this. Someone's going earmuffs over here. I love it. They're just like, don't ruin this for me. I love them. They contain an ingredient called gelatin. So this ingredient is made from the leftovers of the meat industry. So meaning pig skin, cattle bones, and they disguise it as this, you know, squishy, lovable bear. But it's actually made from the leftovers of the meat industry. You guys don't know that. Last one. Gross. It's gross. Here's my last one. Bread. So, do we have any In-N-Out fans in the room? What about Whataburger? Team Whataburger? Whataburger is better. You heard it here first. Whataburger is better. But here we go. So, I'm coming after the hamburger buns, guys. No one's safe in this room, all right? Hamburger buns, okay? In the hamburger buns, you will find, you have to listen, quiet down, an ingredient called L-cysteine? I don't even know how to pronounce it because I've never even heard of it. But it's an ingredient used as a conditioner for bread dough. Basically keeps it together. It's found in hamburger buns with fast food joints. You guys ready for this? Here we go. This ingredient is literally made from human hair. Human hair. I'm not kidding. So you guys wonder when you go to the hair cutter and they have those clippings on the ground and they brush them up and you never know what they do with them? There you go. Bread buns. Hamburger buns. Disgusting. Disgusting. There you go. There's four of them. It'll change your life. Hey, but listen up. Back with me. Hey, we're almost done. But the reason I share that with you guys, the reason I tell you that, we're going to get to the good stuff here, is because if you read ingredients, it tells you a lot about what something is made of, right? Not a lot of us will look at something and read the ingredients. We just consume it because it tastes good. But ingredients will tell you what something is made of. And in the same way, here's what Jesus is saying in this parable. He's saying that your words will tell you what your heart is made of. That our words will show us what our heart is made of. Our words will show us what our heart is made of. And so we tend to overlook that. A lot like that food, like it shocked us. But I think we'll all be shocked when we learn, hey, what is actually going on in our heart with the words that we use? With the words that we use. And so I made a list that I'm calling heart ingredients. Basically, something that'll help you guys see what your heart is made of. Maybe these words are true of your life. If you ever use these words, it might show you underneath your heart, basically who you are, is telling about yourself. And so first one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Gossip. Gossip will be on the screen. Gossip. Something that we all struggle with. Saying things behind people's back, not to their face. And we're gossiping about people. This could just be a sign that your heart is made of insecurity. But there's insecurity in your heart that you have to talk bad about someone else in order to make yourself look good. That is what gossip is saying. That there's something in your heart that is insecure. That's insecure. You struggle with that? Think about it. Which one do you struggle with? The next one is anger. Anger. Getting yelling. Getting mad at our parents or siblings. Saying things that raising our voice. Saying things we don't mean. Anger. That could be just a sign that you struggle with control. With control. When things aren't going your way, when they're out of balance in your life, you tend to raise your voice and you get mad. I'm going to go through this. Keep going. Complaining. Maybe you sit at your dinner table and you complain that your mom made meatloaf for the fourth time in a row. And then you complain that you have to go to church and wake up and, you know, wake up early and go to church. Or you complain that you have to go to school. That could just be a sign in your heart that there's some dissatisfaction there. Maybe not satisfied in things that the Lord has provided you. A great home, a great meal, a great school, a great church to learn about God. You're just dissatisfied. That could tell you something about your heart. Boasting, talking about yourself, maybe how many points you scored in a game or how many, you know, likes you got on Instagram or whatever it is. Boasting about yourself, talking about yourself all the time is just a sign that there might be pride in your heart, or there probably is, that you want to put others down, as I said, to make yourself look good. You want to focus on yourself rather than others. And last one, there's a lot of these, but I only listed a few, is excuses. You know, just saying, hey, I don't have time for it, or making excuses when your parents ask you to do something, or making excuses when your teacher asks you to do something. You make excuses. That's just a sign that there could be laziness in your heart. Maybe you don't want to work hard, or maybe you just, you know, feel like you can just skate by and not do the hard work. Laziness could be in there. So I want you to focus on those things. What is it for you that you think you struggle with using your words? Because our words are hard to manage because we have a lot of them. And so I have a little snack on stage. I thought I'd give it out if anyone wants it. I actually have 2 packs of gummy bears. Who wants them? Who wants them? All right, here we go. Throw them. Here we go. Here we go. Oh! Hey, I think he got it first. That was a good catch. One-handed catch. Guys, notice the excitement that y'all went after those gummy bears. Like, you guys wanted them. It was mostly guys. I think the girls were kind of grossed out by the whole leftovers thing. But hey, I gave those gummy bears out fully expecting y'all to be like, I don't want those now. Like, I found out what's in them. That's disgusting. I ain't touching those things. But here's what you did. You continued to reach for them, right? Because they're good. And you don't care necessarily about the ingredients. And that's the point that I'm trying to make, that Jesus is making to these Pharisees and in line making to us, that we tend to overlook our words. We overlook our words. We minimize them. We don't pay attention to them. And they're really telling us something. They're telling us what our heart is made of. And so how do we change this? We're almost done. How do we change this? How do we change our words? Basically, Jesus is telling us. He says, hey, your words will show you what your heart is made of. And so you need to change what is filling your heart, because what fills your heart comes out of your mouth. What you're putting into your heart is coming out of your mouth. And so, like any, if you go see a dietitian or you go see a nutritionist, they'll basically tell you, hey, the best way to change your diet is you go and you take an inventory of what you've eaten the last week or last month. And that'll tell you, hey, what am I eating too much of? What am I eating too little of, right? It'll tell you. So they'll have you log it. In the same way, that's how we change our words. We have to take an inventory of what is going into our heart. What is going into our heart? Maybe that for you is YouTube videos all the time, or violent video games, or explicit music, or friends that are just negative all the time, and it's influencing you, and that is making your heart just cold and hard. Whatever it is, what are you consuming all the time? And if it's not God's word, it's not going to come out of your mouth. If it's not God's script, then it's going to be your own script. And you're going to use words that you don't actually mean and end up hurting yourself and influencing other people. So last thing, last point, and we'll be out of here, is number two, why your words matter, is your words are recorded. Your words are recorded. And so studies suggest, I read this the other day, studies suggest that you use on average around 10 to 15,000 words a day, which is crazy. That's unreal. For guys, I know that's really low. Girls, you guys like to talk. So girls like to use a lot of words, but let's just say on average, you use around 10,000 words a day. So everyone in this room, 10,000 words a day. So that means every 5 days, you guys ready for this? Every 5 days, you speak enough words to fill an entire book. That's crazy. Every year, you speak enough words to fill 73 books. You guys are authors in this room. You didn't even know. Okay. And then if you, who in here is 12 years old? Okay, 12 year olds. Yeah, in the back. A few guys. Yeah, eighth graders always sit in the back. There we go. Hey, but if you're 12 years old in this room, that means you have spoken enough words to fill 876 books in your lifetime. That is a ton of words. That is a lot of words. So our world, our life is just filled with words. Come back for me. Come back for me. We're almost done. So our life is filled with words, right? And God has distinctly given us a mouth. He's given us words to use, to utilize, to steward. So I want you guys to think back to the last week of your life. How many would people be able to identify you as a follower of Christ by all those words that you use? Would it be easy to tell that you love Jesus by what's coming out of your mouth? And if not, you have an opportunity to change your words. Change your words. And so in this last part of the Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, here's what Jesus says about our words. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. So meaning just words that don't have any thought. They're just unintentional, just spoken. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So that's crazy. Basically, Jesus is saying, you have never spoken an insignificant word. Every word that comes out of your mouth is meaningful. Is meaningful. There's no backspace key. There's no delete key. There's no disappearing of your words. It's simply, once it's out there for good. That's out there for good. So Jesus is saying, you need to focus on your words. You don't speak carelessly, because our words are there to stay. And so think about this. Like, if your words, imagine if I had a recorder, someone had a recorder, and they recorded every conversation that you've ever been in. Every conversation you have with your siblings, or when your guard was down, or every text conversation you were in, or every conversation that you've had, maybe unfortunately behind somebody's back. And I recorded that. And then I said, hey guys, guess what? We got that file. We got it on iTunes right now. We're going to play it. We got it on Spotify. We're going to play it for everyone to hear. And I brought you up on stage and I played that. Like, would that just embarrass you, or would that encourage you? Would that encourage you and you're like, hey, I got nothing to hide. All my words have been honoring. All my words have been truth-telling. All my words have brought healing and built others up. Or would that scare you? Would that be like, oh, I'm cringing because I know my words have been used carelessly? And so I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that to bring fear to your life. I say that to motivate you, to encourage you, that God is watching us because he cares for us, and he's given us words to speak in order to utilize them to bring glory to him and good to others. And so how do we use our words? And if that in some way brings fear to your life, I want to encourage you with this truth as I close. This simple truth that if you trust in Jesus, that if you are a follower of Christ, that Jesus has spoken every word perfectly. Perfectly. That we're not saved based on the words that we use. We are saved simply based on the work of Jesus, who went to the cross, who died on our behalf, who spoke every word perfectly so that we don't have to. And all our careless words are put on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 just says, God made him who knew no sin, to be the careless words that we've spoken in the last week, and the last month, and the last year, to be those words for us. And then once we understand that truth of the gospel, that God saved us, even in our careless words, then that should encourage us to go live and to use our words well, to use them wisely, to use his script that he's given us. Understand the gospel that changes the way we speak. Last thing, and we're out of here. To illustrate this, my son recently turned 1 year old. This is my son on the screen. His name's Harvey. He's amazing. I love him so much. And we celebrated his birthday recently, and I just love getting to spend time with him. And let's just say after this message, you came up to me and you're like, hey, Austin, man, great job on the message. I was so encouraged by you. Like, just you affirming me, maybe something you heard or just affirming me and, you know, something that encouraged you. And then you were like, hey, I got to be honest, though. I've met your son, and that dude is annoying. He cries all the time. I don't like being around him. Honestly, he's pretty ugly, if I'm going to be honest. Like you just start trashing my son. Like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, you're totally right. Like, he can be annoying. I would be like, I'm insulted by that. That insults me because you insulted my son. Because there's no separation between me and my son. In the same way, everyone in this room is made in the image of God. That we are God's workmanship. That it would be confusing to a watching world to say, hey, you love God, but then you use your words to insult his children. Just like if you say you're encouraged by me and then you use words to insult my son, that would be confusing. And in order for us to use our words well, we got to know our script. We got to know our script, that it's God's word. And we got to understand that our words reveal and that our words are recorded. And that could change the way we speak, and that could change the way we talk about God. And that everyone in this room is in here because someone spoke words of life or encouraged you to be here. And so my challenge for you guys is that you would use your words well and invite others in and use them to heal and not to wound. Use them to build others up, not to break or tear others down. And understand that your words truly do matter. I'm going to pray real quick and then we'll be out of here. Lord, thank you that you've given us a script in order to use our words well. I pray that we'd live by it. We didn't just put it on the shelf, but we'd read it, and then it would be used as a teleprompter for every conversation that we're in. We love you, God. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for caring for us, even when we speak careless words, that you love us. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.